So the overflow, flowing up, flowing out, flowing forth. The overflow doesn't just come just to stay. The overflow comes to conquer, to change, to shift, to create. So when you allow the overflow into your life in this way, it allows you to see in a new light. It allows you to see in a new way. It allows you to move in a new way, move in a new agreement, move where God has you to go, and allows for the place of God, the heart of God, to be released into a new place, into a new environment. Why? Because you took it with you. You took it with you, and you release freely. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to touch base in Zechariah 3:7 again, and then we're going to be in John 4. The reality is what I'm trying to get across here with this 3:7 is an original design. The original design that we came programmed in with as believers. That God created man for this place. So he created man for this place, and we got to start looking for God to do something new in our lives. We got to start looking for the authority that he's giving. We got to start looking for the place of blessing that he's released. But most of all, we got to start looking for that place of access that has been given. Because that's the thing that's going to shift everything in your heart. Glory to God. And I was really greatly encouraged. Ray Lynn had shared this, that, you know, Moses was given a pattern for the tabernacle. Then David was given a pattern for the temple. And then all of that was turned over to Solomon to produce the temple. In other words, God was very, very detailed in how all those things were going to happen. And that same level of detail is what he's releasing to us today for what's coming ahead of us. The same level of detail he released to Moses, the same level of detail he released to David and to Solomon, is the level of detail he wants you to know his plans with. He wants you to know his heart with. Because when we get that, when we stand in that, we're going to be ever so much different than we are without. It's part of why I'm continuing to hold this place, because I want to know, what does it mean, Lord, when you say you give me the authority to be in your house, to govern your house? What does governing your house look like? What does having charge of your courts look like? Because if I start knowing what this looks like, I can start habitating that place. But most of all, he gives us the freedom to have access in that place. What does that look like? I know what I've experienced, but I want to expand all of our experience. Glory to God. He was very specific, and in Genesis 2:15, he kind of laid out the thing there in the garden where basically they were to dress and to keep the garden. And when they're to dress and keep the garden, they're going to be causing it to serve. They're fostering the growth of the garden. They're causing the garden to be a worshiper. They're causing all the things around. Because remember, there was no effort. There was no work to be done. Work hadn't been created yet because the fall hadn't happened yet. The toil that we so connect with everything in the world with wasn't a part of the picture of what he was trying to convey. So the work that they were doing was actually standing in their Levitical priesthood and releasing from that place a truth into everything that was around them. When he said keep, it means to watch over, guard, protect, and be faithful to. So you have to remember that the garden was without sin. Until the fall, there was no sin. If there's no sin, there's no death. Think about that a minute. Without sin, there's no death. Without sin and death, then there's nothing to create trauma and pain and brokenness and darkness out of. It wasn't part of their experience yet. God is restoring a place for you that is without the sin, without the trauma, without the darkness, without all those things that came in as a product of the fall. He wants to give you a place where you can be free of it. You might have a recognition of a remembrance of it, but you're no longer governed and owned by it. But I believe this keep literally was about protecting the relationship. The relationship between them and God. It was about protecting everything. In other words, when they were in the garden, they were in the garden to protect themselves and the garden from the product of sin. So go with me to Zechariah 3:7. And I'm going to just say this. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will perform my service, then you will govern in my house and have charge in my courts, and I will grant you free access among those who are standing here. He's unfolding his pattern. It's the same pattern we saw in Genesis 2. He's unfolding his pattern for you. If you will walk in my ways, if you will walk in my ways. You know what it takes to walk in his ways? John says to walk in the light as he walks in the light. Well, light and sound are both frequencies. So all I have to do is get in his frequency. When I step into his frequency, I'm stepping into his light. When I step into his frequency, I step into his sound. And when I'm starting to sound like him, I'm starting to look like him, I'm starting to have a light that emanates off of me like him, guess what? There's going to be a representation of Christ everywhere you go. So let's walk in the light as he walks in the light. Let's walk in harmony. Harmony. When we walk in harmony, guess what? There's a joining together. Like we were holding hands up here earlier. There's a joining together, a coming together in oneness. Because we're in a harmony together to make a sound, to produce a light that can't be produced any other way. Thank you, Lord. So he unlocks. When I perform my service, he's talking about if you'll perform that office or that post. In other words, if we will perform his service, that means we're going to keep his word. We keep his word. We've heard that before. Then he goes and he unlocks this promise. He says, you're going to govern my house. You govern his house. It's in you. Govern his house. I don't know about you, but that sounds like some big shoes to fill. But if he says I can do it, why would I not? Keep his courts. Take charge of his courts. That word charge and keep are the same word. So yeah, you're keeping his courts. You're charging his courts. And that's protecting that place of entry into his holiness and into his presence. That means I am intentional to do things to protect the holiness that others can experience. And guess what? That has to start with me. Because when I'm protecting the holiness of the Lord towards somebody, I want to represent that as best as I know how. So I protect this, putting his heart in my heart. Sin misrepresents God. That's why we were to keep it out of the garden. That's what creates a distance between us and God. He said there's an enmity. The enmity is not for you as a person. The enmity is for that thing you're allowing to hang on. It's time for us to recognize and learn the difference of the access that we have. See, right here he says, I'll give you free access among those who are standing here. In the Old Testament, you have to remember, high priest could only go into the Holy of Holies one time a year. So when he says this, it's a whole new revelation to them. That's impossible. Because he didn't even restrict it to the high priest. He said, I'll give you access. The high priest could only go once a year. And the high priest, when he showed up there, Joshua, when he showed up there, wasn't even ready. The Lord had to get him ready. He had to dress him in new clothes. He had to put a new turban on his head. He had to clean him up and get him ready. But guess what? It was the Lord doing the work. It wasn't Joshua over there trying to scrub enough to get ready. The Lord did the work. In the same way, they were setting a pattern. He was setting a pattern to let you know what he's going to do now. When he contacts you, he's going to bring you into the place, and he's the one who does the cleaning. All we have to do is allow for it. Show up. Show up. Show out. Go up. So he opened the way. Today, religion doesn't want to teach you about the way. Religion wants to keep you thinking that we have to go earn it like we used to do in the Old Testament. But that pattern was broken. He has given you a new pattern. He was trying to tell you, this pattern that I had in the garden is the pattern that I'm renewing now at the end of my Old Testament. But it's coming for a people who will come into a New Testament relationship with me. Who will be supercharged by my word and by truth in them. And they'll be ready to come and meet me. Engage me. The new pattern. He's shining light into the darkness. If he says he gives me free access, who am I to deny the access? I have free access at my mom's home. I can and do walk inside that house, go into any room that I want to, and I will freely take of the whatever's in the fridge that I want, or if it's in the cabinet. But if I had that free access, and I never came over, she'd think I didn't love her. If I never came over, she'd be mad. She'd think I didn't love. She'd be hurt. Is Jesus hurt because you haven't shown up? Hello? You notice I didn't look at anybody. I didn't scan the crowd. Has he heard from you lately? Has he seen you lately? Have you come and engaged him lately? Because if we are, we're going somewhere. If we are, we're on a path for change. We're on a path for transformation. We're on a path for invigoration. We're on a path to meet him and then and to declare him everywhere that we go. Because why? The more that I meet him, the more that I can be like him. The more that I can stand in my authority to govern his house and to begin to stake and declare what's going to happen. When we were here Wednesday night, we began to stand in our authority as we ascended. We stood in our authority and we began to declare into the atmosphere what was going to happen. We declared to declare the multiplication of the seed that had been planted. We began to declare and demand that the earth pay attention. Have you seen that the earth paid attention? God is looking. Looking for us to stand in agreement and alignment with him. And as we stand in agreement and alignment with him, we're releasing something out of the authority that he's given to you. Because this is the pattern. He gave you a pattern for declaration. He gave you a pattern for habitation. We get to do it. Just do it. Just do it. You're never going to see that little logo the same, are you? Just do it. Every time you see that, let that to be just let that be a thing that causes you to go, you know what? I need to come into sin with him again. I need to engage my Lord right here, right now. In John 3, in case you just think that this was the Lord was painting this picture for some time in the great sweet by and by after you've already expired. In John 3, Jesus says, told Nicodemus, when Nicodemus was asking for proof of who he was, he said, I'm the one who's with you, right? But I'm the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Even as he was standing right there in front of Nicodemus. Meaning, we have the ability to be here, present. And to be present with him. Engaged with him. If Jesus can do it and I'm in Jesus, then I'm in Jesus doing it. Jesus is in me and we're going to go do it. You can chew on that one a little bit. Glory to God. I did say, I did say I was going to go to John 4. I kind of got caught up in the review and now I'm, okay. Anyway, that's the review. Go to John 4. But what did Hebrews tell us? Hebrews 10 tells us there's a new and living way. That we draw near because we have this high priest who went before us and created the way. The same concepts are found throughout the Word. This access is not just something for the sweet by and by, it's for our now. In John 4, we see the Samaritan woman. This is verse 6. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. And it was about the sixth hour. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. I want to show you this is a pattern for how we can interact with one another in our journey to bring the life of God to somebody. Now notice here, he sent his disciples into the city to buy food. All of them. This woman comes out to the well. He knows she's coming. She's coming out there at high noon. Because she's been excommunicated from the city. All the rest of the women in the city won't have anything to do with her because of her past. So she comes out there alone. What do? He established a safe place. When we go to communicate with someone, well, the very first thing we want to do is establish a safe place for them. This works in our marriage, but it works in every other relationship that we have, but especially it works in our evangelism. Establish a safe place for them so that they can come and approach you or you can approach them without there being that other overhead. Establish a safe place. You know, we gotta create a safe place to where we can connect. Sometimes we have to create a safe place where we can actually repair. If you've had words with your, I'm not gonna look at anyone. If you've had words with your spouse, you wanna repair. And you wanna create a safe place. To repair. See, because protecting our family is more than providing food and shelter. It's creating a safe place. You know, me big hunter, me get deer, me provide skin for a tent. There's more to it than that. We gotta be a safe place so that they can be developed. Remember what it is to come and to keep. It means to basically we're preparing it and watching over it. We're gonna guard it and be faithful with it. But we're also gonna foster the growth. All this can only happen if there's a safe place for one another to express who they are. Jesus is sitting there in his authenticity. He's sitting there as who he is. He's sitting there carrying the glory of God with him. You know, when we carry and we walk in the truth has a very significant beauty to it. We're going to set the world free by walking in truth. Because that resonates with a place of trust that people can lean into. So we see then, we go down there to verse 10, and Jesus answered her and said, if you knew the gift of God, and who is it, says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And then she says, sir, I have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? He's engaging her curiosity now. This is a better way to do icebreakers. Engage your curiosity about the word. Engage your curiosity about what's coming. Who is this man of God that you're talking about? What is this living well? Notice, at this point, he already knows who's coming. He knows her past. He also knows her future. But he could have just blasted her with who she's been. He could have created condemnation and guilt and shame. Instead, he engages her. We see that here, she said, verse 13, he says, he answered to her and said, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again, speaking of that natural well. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. So now he begins to open her up with the promise that is in the word. She becomes open to receive from the promise in the word. In the same way in our relationships, if we'll, instead of responding out of our anger, if we'll start to listen and understand who they are and understand what their situation is instead of just jumping to jump, you know what we do? We jump to 10 or we jump to 100. I'm not looking at anybody again, I see. When we jump to jump, then we miss the opportunity to draw them in with the promise. Because they need to know you're here. They need to know they matter. Hallelujah. So we engage the curiosity and we open the word of promise. And now we see she wants the water. And then he says, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, well, you have no husband. You said, well, and for you have five husbands and the one you have now is not your husband. This you have said truly. Is not your husband. See, now the truth reveals her need for the Savior. Truth tellers are needed. We as a church, not this body, but the church at large, but you know, even in this body, we need to begin to engage being truth tellers and truth receivers. So everybody who just waved their hand at being a truth teller, I want to see your head wiggling to being a truth receiver too. I want truth receivers. Let me look. Let me scan. Right, there we go. Gotcha. All right. We want to be truth receivers. Because why? Because this allows her to take stock and now take ownership of the problem. And only when she takes ownership of the problem can she actually bring it to Jesus. When she takes ownership of the problem, it takes for us to acknowledge and understand what our problem is. I had people who were truth tellers in my life before I got saved, and they would tell me what the problem was. Me. And specific actions that me was taking. But I wasn't a truth receiver. I just thought she was weird. It's like, you don't know what you're talking about. And I'd just walk away. But she was telling me the truth. You gotta be a truth receiver. Because it's only then can you graduate from being a truth receiver into being one who's walking in the truth. We all want to walk in the truth, but there's a process here. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for Miss Jennifer. She went on to be with in heaven, but she kept it up. I'll give her credit. She kept it up. She didn't let it bother her that I was telling her to, back up. See, so instead of controlling, she wasn't controlling about it. She was patient, long-suffering. Okay? She displayed the fruit of the Spirit instead of escalating, which was I was willing to escalate. I was going to escalate really quickly in that moment. I was willing to escalate. But she didn't. She just stayed patient, at peace. You know how frustrating it is when you want to fight and somebody just stays at peace? How can I prove that I'm right if you won't fight? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just be present. Let them know that they're important. That they're safe. Sowell, Thomas Sowell tells it like this. He says it like this. When you want to help people, you tell them the truth. When you want to help yourself, you tell them what they want to hear. Charlie Kirk was a truth teller. He went against the grain. He went against the grain of what everybody else who had some influence. Because see, there's lots of people out there doing, race baiting and grandstanding and gaslighting, all to get power and influence. Ultimately, money. He didn't do that. He just stood with patriotism and faith and love, not in that order. He stood in love. He would go there and I watched quite a few of his little things where he'd have the suits and he would just be there and he would just be so calm. Just so calm. And they're up there flustered and yelling and screaming and all this other stuff, accusing, and he's just calm. And then he would just take, and it was, pew, and pick the balloon and boop. And so logic and understanding and wisdom would be shown up on the scene. I think the reason that it's been as big of a deal as it's been is because we see that this wasn't an attack really on a person. It was an attack on the idea that you can be conservative. Therefore, it actually was an attack on all of us. but you're not going to silence. Did you see, if you saw Erica's thing, where she encouraged everybody, and she just put a message out for Turning Point USA, but just about how she's felt and about what's going on. And she said they don't know what they've unleashed. And she, towards the end, she basically invited people, if you have a chapter of TPUSA, then get involved. And if you don't have one, then I want you to start one. 18,000 requests have come in to start a Turning Point USA. The multiplication is already here. The voice amplification is already here. The commission to release is already here. Hallelujah. So back to Jesus and this woman. And she says, woman, believe me, an hour, verse 21, hour is coming where neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Meaning that she was a Samaritan, meaning that they weren't full-blooded Jews at that point in time. So, now, there was two different mountains. Jesus is saying, it no longer is going to matter what mountain that you're worshiping at. You're going to have to worship me for me. So, change the place. It's no longer about the physical temple, is what he's telling her. There's a temple that's coming that's going to be in you and you in me. See, God is spirit, he says, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. In other words, it's going to be possible for you to worship me both in the spirit and in the natural at the same time. I want you to worship me and engage me, because it's no longer about the mountain. It's about the God that you pursue. So, verse 26 then, I know that the Messiah is coming. He was called Christ. When the one comes, he will declare all things to us. Now we come and we present her the answer. Jesus said to her, I am he who speaks to you. He introduces her to the answer. As a result of what happened for her, she goes out into the city. Okay, verse 28, the woman left her water pot, went to the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things I've done. And this is not the Christ, is he? They always speak in a double negative thing. Basically saying, this is the Christ. And the result, 42. It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we've heard ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. No one had to gaslight anybody. Evangelism happened because people began to be authentic with one another. Evangelism happened, or a resolution happened. If we'll take it back to Miss Jennifer telling me that I messed up. A resolution happened. Why? Because I got introduced to the answer. When we get introduced to the answer, you can't introduce somebody to the answer if you're busy jumping on the roof. We'll put it that way. I can only release them to the answer, lead them to the answer, when I stay in the character of God. It's that answer that'll change their life. It's that answer that'll change the city. It's that answer that's changing everywhere and all the people. When we did the thing on Wednesday, when we went and ascended on Wednesday night, it was amazing. It totally changed the atmosphere in here, and it totally changed the atmosphere also within us. I went home and I was pumped up. I was up for hours. because I could have been texting everybody. Hey, I was up for hours because the Spirit of God, I called the room, but he didn't call me back. And I was ready to disengage with somebody because, man, the energy is just pulsing through you. It was life giving us the word. Yeah, that's good. And all that brought me to the remembrance, because one of the things that we did was we discussed Isaiah 6. In Isaiah 6, basically, there was the death of King Uzziah. But that death released the opportunity for Isaiah to see the Lord. And the result of Isaiah seeing the Lord was a change of heart. He was in a place of depression, not knowing what was going to happen, because why everything that they had looked towards and depended upon was gone now. But Isaiah, when he saw the Lord, he knew now the empowerment of who really is the king. The empowerment of the king sitting on his throne. And when he saw that empowerment, then he was moved to do something. And we see that in verse 8, he was moved to, when the Lord asked, who can we send? He said, here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Send me. And it doesn't matter whether our issue today is that same issue or not. It doesn't matter whether it's Turning Point USA or whatever. But our answer, our cry to God is, here I am, send me. Because when that's my goal, then everything that I do is going to start reflecting Him. We can start looking like Him. It's no longer about worshiping on some mountain. It's about coming back to that original pattern, coming to a face-to-face encounter. It's not about the works and things that God, Jesus did the work for you. He did the work. He paid the price. It wasn't that there's no price to be paid, but the price was already paid. It just, I didn't have to pay the price anymore. I can let that go. I can step in, bro. Just because I want to. Because the door is open to me. The fridge is open to me. It's all open. And I can step in. Because I'm doing so, I'm showing love. By doing so, I'm being affected by His love. And I'm affecting others with that love. Amen.